Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Guardian Hub podcast, a podcast where we talk about Destiny and our experiences in the game. We spotlight different guests and communities and want to be a place to talk about uplifting experiences we have had. With me, as normal, is Sin. How are you doing?
I am extremely well tonight, sir. Thank you for the introduction. How are you doing?
You're still well. We're going to have to keep a ranking of how well you are each week. Extremely well is always good.
Extremely well, magical, superb,
well.
Elated, un-ginger touched.
Yep, we're going to have to talk about that.
We're definitely going to have to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and I hear we have another special guest with us tonight, Clear Knight. Hey, how you doing, Clear Knight?
I'm doing well. What do you mean I'm special? Well, special what way?
You are our most specialist guest because you are the newest guest.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Yes.
You are definitely a special guest. Sin and I know Clear Knight from way back in Destiny. Probably one of my oldest contacts in the game. I mean, I had a few that I played with before Clear Knight, but Clear Knight and some other guys in my friends list kind of were like some of the first ones we started raiding with way back in the day. So, yeah.
I was trying to think which was the raid that we first played. I was trying to think about that the other day when you were talking about the raiding. And if it was Crota or if it was King's Fall, I know it wasn't Vogue. It wasn't Vogue, so I know it was either one of those two.
I don't know the first one we played together, but it seems like when we kind of started playing with some other people and started a Discord in a clan called Hoot Dog, it seems like it was Vogue, for that was first in the discussion when I went back and was looking at the history one day when I was bored.
Right.
But as far as the first one we played together, who knows? Because I like to raid a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, they all kind of, after a while, they all kind of, you know, over time, you're like, which one is this? And do you want to, you know, it's funny, I just thought of this. You know how when Destiny 2 came up, it gave the images of the past, you know, when you imported your character? I think, you know, it would go through the different raids. I believe the picture of the Kingsfall raid with you and Stacy was in that one. So I think you were part, now we might have been raiding before that, but I think you and her and I were our first. I don't know if it was your first at the time or not, but
it wasn't my first
Kingsfall clear at that point. So maybe she was along with you and I was, because I thought that was funny. I just remember that because, yeah, I love that when they did the import to Destiny 2. You know,
that was great.
One, and they do the I forget what they called it, the reel. I called it the highlight reel, right? And you see some names, and it was an interesting one because there's some names that were on there that, you know, like yourself and others that I continue to play with and had played with, and there's others that you see like, oh yeah, they used to play this game, and they're not. You know, it was one of some of the IRL friends, I should say, and before I got into the clan groups and a lot of us, as has been mentioned on the podcast, is the, you know, Destiny Reset was where a lot of us have found each other and then sort of created subgroups like Dog and others. So
I remember I have memories of us and Hoot Dog playing a lot of Crota, because it was just a great easy raid that we could hop in and just have fun, pass it quickly. Like if we didn't maybe have time or didn't want to commit to a larger raid, we would just hop into Crota. And speaking of Hoot Dog, that we kind of all started to get together, and there's some other people that officially started it right before us, but we all kind of like just found each other through raiding and decided to join the Hoot Dog Discord and clan. And that's, like I said, that's where we met and, you know, still part of. So, our guest, even though this week it's Clear Knight, we also want to like talk about the Hoot Dog. It's been a great, amazing clan. If anyone wants to look it up, there is possibilities to get in. Just kind of, we like to play with you, get to know you first.
Yep. The only requirement is, you know, basically be you know, respectful. We also do ask that people join the Discord, just because there's some you know, applications that just say, hey, we'd like to join, but we want to let's make sure, A, you're not a bot, for one, because we've had a few of those where it's just like some crazy bot or some crazy person. So we just want to make sure somebody's, you know, respectful and other things, and we don't have really
higher no craziness. Necessarily.
Yeah.
No craziziness. And well, don't be that
crazy.
Weird.
I just didn't say crazy. I just mean more like respectful, because we're all crazy.
I was going to say, because I'm out. If the craziness is out, I'm out.
Yeah. But you're in the clan, so it's like present company included.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's definitely great. It's great. It's a great clan. Cause I mean, even now, like there's different, you know, games that some of us have played. We all started in Destiny. We all played, you know, Crota was really the foundation, I think, from a lot. And, you know, as we grew, and moved into Destiny 2 and, you know, really primarily PS4, and we still have a good PS4 contingent, but a lot have also migrated over to PC as well. And obviously now Division 2 has kind of taken over some of the, mm-hmm. some of the team members as well, which is cool for them to kind of play. And we're still playing some Destiny and some other things, but yeah, it's definitely, we just basically try and keep chill, you know, relaxed. Even when we're raiding, you know, we're not the kind of type that want to just, you know, go intense, hardcore insulting. Like if somebody needs help, we want to instruct them, you know, we don't backpack, but we help to guide and instruct, you know, so everybody just enjoy. And even if you're having a frustrating party, it's like, all right, well, let's regroup. You know, does anybody have any questions? Anybody want to change positions? You know, any of that kind of stuff. Because we've all been one of those situations where, you know, maybe even like this weekend we had a few of those. We'll get to that. But, you know, raiding can get the best and worst of people sometimes too, because mm-hmm. you just want to get really past something and just something's not clicking. And then other times it's seamless, you know, like going through a Leviathan raid. We pretty much do that in like 40 to 50 minutes now. It's like without even thinking, even if it's a new one or
smooth as butter.
I mean, yeah, Leviathan, and we're not like super try hard like top 1% people, but at the same time, I remember we'd have a rhythm.
Don't lie. Where, don't lie.
Hey, we're good. We're good enough.
We're try hard.
We could do it in our sleep, and we would have little funny timers Claire Knight would do to see how quickly we could pass baths, you know?
Mm-hmm. 2 minutes and eight. 2 minutes and 8 seconds is the current record.
So, yeah, good times.
Yep. Yeah, definitely good.
Awesome. And we definitely played some in the game this week too. Mm-hmm. Also, I would just want to mention really quick, just a little small thing, but you were also on a podcast that Hoot Dog mm-hmm. does, right?
Yep, on Hoot Dog Radio. So we haven't had a little ability to kind of get together recently, so we're a bit of a hiatus. At first, the beginning of the year, I had some personal issues with some family. My kid, I think we talked about a little bit in the later episodes of Hoot Dog, that I had, my son was in for a few weeks in the hospital, and he's doing well now and everything. But that was just a real tough time to sort of get everything together. And then after that, it was just, it seems like other adulting type stuff is happening. So we're kind of on a hiatus at this moment, but I'm hoping to kind of get that back going again. Yeah. But, you know, it's definitely a good experience as well. And Gunbait and you guys have also been on that show as well. So we're trying to, let's try and see what we can do with that as well. But currently, you know, on, like I kind of say, we're still figuring out what we're going to be doing with that one. But,
well, everyone, it's still a great resource. Please go back and listen to the episodes.
Yeah, we had about 50 some episodes in the books. We had a couple that are still recorded, but we have to kind of post, but 50 episodes in. So, and we actually started that right at the height of Osiris. So that was a tough time to kind of start everything up. Cause it was, you know, it was harder to find people that you want to talk about, you know, Destiny. I mean, we all love Destiny. We still play Destiny, but you know, that was a certain time period that, you know, right after the rush of, you know, D2 launching and that bit of that lull right afterwards and the negative reception of Osiris. Although looking back on it, I don't have as many negative thoughts as some others, but you know, it definitely was a challenging time. And to start a podcast during that time frame, you know, was a bit of a challenge, but it was definitely a learning experience too. But we always had something to talk about, you know.
Yeah,
most of the time, there's always something to talk about in Destiny. And then if we have some other things to play with, we'll talk about other things, other games. You know, we'll talk about other games we're doing, like indie games or games like, you know, we did a little bit of Borderlands this week, which we can talk about. But you know, those are things that we're all interested in. But ultimately, we always keep coming back to Destiny. Even this week, where you mentioned that we played, you know, I've been pretty much a PC main on Destiny 2 since the late fall, right around Black Armory. I made the switch over to PC where I had characters on both since the launch of Destiny. But I started playing more just because honestly, my RNG and my leveling up was much better, and I just got, you know, addicted to that, and I just was having a tough time on PS4. But I didn't have anything against PS4, so I came back and did the bounties to 640, which were gold, just because I'd like to do raids.
That's,
you know,
great. Yeah.
And that's, you made the opportunity, right? And it's like, you know, hey, anybody want to do some raid on PS4, trying to get some folks in that haven't done it before? I'm like, sure. And that's the main reason I did the 640 bounties. That was a good opportunity to season a drifter, you know, to level up real quick, because I was at like 530 with PS4 character. So, you know, within an hour and a half, I was up to snuff and can help out. And we had some fun this weekend.
Those are good. They should have had stuff like that maybe earlier on too, but at least they've done it now. Yeah. And here's a good tip too. They're going to be making them even better. And the fact that I'll tell you one interesting thing, my son picked up those bounties, but they do have a timer and expiration if you don't do them. And then once you pick them up, they go away and you can't get them again. But Bungie did say in the update coming out on Tuesday that they will see if they've had, if they have expired, and you, if you have not run them yet, you can pick them up again. So that's good.
That's
news.
Great.
Yeah. Oh man. So yeah, there's lots to talk about. Let's talk about, I mean, we already kind of started, but like our week in gaming together, you know, we did some raiding and you helped us join some things over on the PS4 side. I think I'm trying to think if we did anything besides the Last Wish raid, but I kind of wanted to start it as like a way to get my son through the raid. Yeah, and that's what you joined us in. And Sin was there on the second night, not the first night.
That was a lot of fun that night. That was, I'm just going to say.
It was more fun the second night.
no tarnish on anybody we played with in the first night. It just was, there was some interesting talk. Exactly. I think your son opened up a little bit more. He was actually very, we played him before. I remember helping him through Leviathan, I think the first time, way back when, I forget exactly when, but I remember joining in on that too, to help him do his first Leviathan pass. And, very respectful, very, you know, listened to directions easily, and we got him through pretty easily. Leviathan, though, I think is a lot more straightforward, and we just are a lot more experienced with that. And we all have great Last Wish experience as well, but I think it's a little bit more challenging from a mechanic standpoint. So not in a bad way, just in a good way. But yeah, it was fun kind of doing that. So him opening up a little bit more, I'll say, on Saturday Night Giving. A little bit of fun talk and banter, specifically with Mr. Sin here and others.
Yeah, we're gonna announce it like straight out on the podcast. We are already marrying off Kingsley's son to my daughter, and they're 5 years apart. He is 13 and she is 8, so it's officially announced.
Of course,
we got to make sure
down the road when it's more appropriate. But
she's got to be at least 18. So
yes.
So he's gonna be 23. He's gonna be waiting a while. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
did you get the dowry yet? Just making sure, Kingsley. Yeah, I remember that. Thanks for this call, isn't it?
Okay. Sin, you will get half the podcast.
All right. Sold.
Oh, good times. But yeah, I mean, I love running raids, as everyone knows. As I've mentioned on the podcast before, and it was good to have you in there again, Claire Knight, and it was fun to do Last Wish. What are your feelings on the raid? You know, you've obviously run the raid before, but maybe it's been a little while, maybe it hasn't, but what are your thoughts still on the raid? What do you like or don't like about it, or what's hard or easy?
I really do love the raid. It's funny because I mentioned as I switched to main on PC, you know, back right before the Black Armory, and I was having trouble leveling up to get to, you know, raid, Forsaken raid level. So all my raid experience with Last Wish up until this weekend has been PC. So, and with that, I was running with, you know, Dirty Bird and Ferg and Dino and a few others that have done it quite a bit. And so running with them is like, you know, easy mode because they've done it like 20 plus times, you know, and et cetera. Actually, I think I'm underselling it there. At the point I joined in, I think they had already done 20. They've done some more. So it was definitely fun on that. So, but coming back to PS4, it was definitely, you know, fun. And it's, you know, I think in terms of all raids so far, I haven't actually gotten my toes into the Scourge yet. I've watched it and I know the mechanics and such. So I haven't had a chance to kind of play and get to that level until more recently. But so I am interested in doing that. But so far, the
challenge accepted.
Yes. And it'll be a little bit easier on to get it on PC for right now, just because I'm a little further away on PS4. I'm much
higher. Don't be scared. We got this. We got this.
And I know that we have a lot of team members in Hoot and others that have done it quite a bit. So there's definitely a lot of experience there as well. But Last Wish definitely is one of my favorite raids. And that includes D1 ones. I think I really enjoy the mechanic of this one. In many ways, it reminds me of King's Fall. And just because of, I don't know, maybe it's the sort of like that epic nature. You know, I'm kind of giving a little bit of Bungie PR on this, and that's how they sold it to us. But I think I really do believe one of the things, I mean, I like the Leviathan, don't get me wrong. I actually do like the Leviathan. It's probably more than most, because I always look at it as a game show. Like, hey, come on down and, you know, I'm going to test you out. you know, and I always liked the rotation. I think the coolest thing about Leviathan, even though it's been done already, you know, for almost probably a year and a half plus, and the rotation of the different challenges, and eventually you get the house, but at least, you know, the dogs and the pools and everything kind of rotate. I think that's a really cool mechanic. I think that's always been really neat. So I do enjoy that. And, you know, just whenever you can succeed after a while, it's just, you know, it's comfort. So we've helped a lot of people getting through that raid. So there's definitely a fondness to that. But overall, I think pretty much any of the D1 raids, I still like more than that one. So I think, you know, it's fun to play, but I still enjoy, you know, my favorite is probably still, everybody kind of uses Vogue. I probably will probably say the revised Crota became my favorite. Like, not the original Crota, because it was buggy when it first launched with the Dark Below. You know, I didn't really play it that often back then. And then they started to patch it, and I wasn't part of the whole, you know, unplug the LAN cable or anything like that. But, or try and float across the bridge with the sword. I just wasn't into the cheesing at the time. But I do like Crota. But, you know, the Vogue is always very good. King's Fall, I love King's Fall. It's just there's so much time commitment to King's Fall. I don't think there's ever been a time where King's Fall hasn't taken multiple hours for that. But nights, I always thought that was, and nights. Yeah, exactly. Because most of us are, you know, I don't like the term casual, but I think, you know, we have limited time. You know, casual would mean that I'm not playing from, like, I don't know, 9 o'clock at night to 2 a.m. You know, that's not, to me, very casual. But just because that's the only time I can play. But I do enjoy King's Fall a lot. And it took a while before I get to the point where I could play King's Fall, because that year I really didn't have a group that I was playing with. All my friends had stopped playing for the most part. And so I was looking for it. So I didn't have a clan at the time. That's where I kind of eventually got into DRP and et cetera. That's still probably my favorite raid, probably King's Fall in terms of overall grandeur, you know, but for fun factor, I just jump into Crota and just fun. So even the hard mode, I like the hard mode.
Crota, when they redid it, like you said, they've added some fun mechanics. And then also if you run it on the hard mode, it actually is a bit challenging, especially if you're trying to do all the challenges where you have to do certain things and time requirements. And I had to run it with some pretty hardcore groups to finally get some of those passed. And so, yeah, people shouldn't sleep on challenge mode of Crota, although very rare people are going back into it these days, but it was a good time. It was an excellent thing they did, you know, to
I like the redo too, where they added the additional swords of that after you cross, you know, cross the bridge, and we do the, as we joke, you know, choppy choppy, but it's a lot of fun. Like the fact that they went back and remastered that raid, you know, improved the quality, got rid of a lot of the cheeses, actually all the cheeses that were really significant, and made it a raid, you know, because they used to always joke that it was more of a strike in terms of length. But honestly, to me, it has mechanics. So to me, that's always fun. And then Wrath, I actually enjoyed Wrath. I'd have to see which one I actually finished the most, but I did a lot of Wrath, but I finished a good amount of Wrath, but I probably played Wrath a ton without finishing, because I would either help out teams and then they wouldn't get to a certain point, or they couldn't get past, you know, at the very end. Yeah, so we would end up like bailing, and you know, so I did a lot of the early Wrath, and then a lot of times you just sometimes that last encounter, phase two especially, it just would throw people. So yeah, just, you know, it's one of those harder parts of it. So I think every raid itself is special just because they're all really cool in the way the mechanic is. I think the only one that I didn't enjoy, and I think we all kind of share this one, is Spire of Stars. And I think it's not, I love the grandeur and look of it. It's a great looking raid, and I like the adventure of it, but I think they just got, I think that was Bungie's reaction to everybody going, oh, these raids are too easy. And I think they went out of their way to make it artificially hard without it being interesting hard.
Yeah, I can see that. I still want to do it personally just for the sleeper catalysts and do the prestige version.
Yeah,
that's really the only reason I'd like to go in there and do it. And I still haven't gotten a clear. I don't even have to clear because I think the catalyst can drop at any point.
Yeah.
But for me, that's my only reasoning right now to go and do that particular raid. But I do remember Wrath, like you said, clear night. There's a lot of, we spent tons of hours in it, not necessarily getting a clear. I remember spending one night hours inside the, I don't remember the boss's name. But the room,
Axis, you have or is he the first one? Axis is the main boss, second. I believe.
Where you're in the room and you got a sniper or shoot the monitors, and then you have the white phase where you have to slide under the doors. I remember spending hours and hours in that room, just getting the rhythm down and just trying to get the pass. And then, but that was probably the one raid that I played the most just from being in the Destiny so late in the game. I did enjoy Crota. My personal thing, I never really got much into King's Fall, and I know a lot of people love that raid, but the times that I played it, it always seemed like it took significantly longer, and there was always trouble passing it with the groups I was running with. And I think I finally did get one or two completions, but I think for me, because I was so involved in Wrath, I ended up really enjoying and falling in love with that one from D1.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And I remember playing a lot of Wrath with you, Sin, and that's, it's also, I fell in love with Wrath also. It was probably my first raid that I was able to do that came out after I started playing the game. And I was up at a level where I could really just like make it my own. And we went in and we got some clears, with, you know, without having to like, hey, anyone want to do an old raid? And then someone has to Sherpa us through and they don't really want to or whatever. But
Right. Yeah,
Wrath is a fun one.
Yeah. And Vasek, I had to look it up because it was driving me crazy. Oh. Vasek is the first guy with the Fallen, and then Axis is the last guy. Yeah. And I actually, even the the Zamboni, you know, the siege engine, but like the big Zamboni of death, that actually I found really cool, because at the time when that came out, we had the three other raids at the time. And really, like you said, I wasn't playing as many of the raids too often at that particular time period. It was Wrath. It's probably where a lot of my like consistent replay Wrath, raiding happened, because I was probably heavier into DRP, and then we got into Hoot and such. And so we're doing a little bit more of each of those because I just really wanted to raid. And so eventually I gave up on my in life friends who weren't playing anymore. Or if they did, they weren't experienced enough and they just would rage quit and stop playing, you know, the raid. It's like, all right, well, I'd like to get past this, you know, but we keep making the same mistake. Can we figure out how to? So sometimes when you do that with strangers, it seemed to be easier at the time. It wasn't look for group, but it was like, you know, some of the guys over at DRP are still there, so we're have set off. But it was definitely a great raid, and especially when they revisited the raids in the springtime right before Destiny 2. I think that was my favorite point too, where they had all the new armor sets with the the interactive effects and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool. So looking
forward to that. Exactly. And speaking of armor sets, and we talked about this a little bit on last week's episode. I mean, I know it's just cosmetic armor sets, but I know you like to play Iron Banner somehow. What did you think about Iron Banner this last time, Clear Knight?
I played a little bit. I didn't play as much of what, because that was the weekend I went away, so I didn't have as much time where I normally would, but I did play some. I did enjoy it. I think the bounties were better, because one of the issues I had in the past were some of the orb, you know, setting bounties, they kind of reduced it to make it a little bit more manageable, because it was just crazy before that. I didn't personally like the armor, so I felt myself, when I did have some spare time, not feeling like going for that. I was doing more milestones when I was playing. So I did a few nights of Iron Banner, and the gameplay was fine. I mean, to me, I like Iron Banner for the sake of, I like it control. I've always loved control in terms of the current game set that's available to us in Destiny 2. So you know what you're getting. So you're not like rotating between three different match styles that kind of drive me a little nutty. So I like that fact. And, you know, I didn't try the new burden, the Iron Burden, just because I'm very much, as you know, a Voop, you know, fusion guy. But that, and I have a version of the Wizened Rebuke that I think is personally better than what they were offering for that quest step. So I wasn't going to grind that. I was really looking forward to it until I saw what the role was that you were getting. I don't know if they call it curated or not, but that was a static role that you were getting when you did the, was it 500 kills? And yes. I was like, unless it's got, you know, certain things like the backup plan and a couple other perks, that wasn't what I was looking for with what they're offering. So I was like, well, that kind of killed that ambition a little bit, you know. And I like those kinds of, I really like the way that they did some of the Thorn the quest, where you can pick one of three things as you go through it. So I think the very fact of having to do that sort of, you know, heavy grind for a sort of weapon. And I'm not a completionist. Like I like completing for things and going for different milestones and things like that, but I don't feel the need anymore to have to get every single weapon in the game. You know, I think after the reboot of D1 to D2 kind of made me think like, all right, well, whatever the future is, I'm not going to be so set that I'm going to go after something that I don't really need. And I'm not going to play with if they're just going to reboot it again. Cause I do think they will do that again, whatever incarnation at some point. So,
I mean, yeah, I get it. That's kind of how I feel sometimes too.
If it was a better role, I would, right? Like, you know, if it was some of the curated, like what we get in Last Wish, some of the curated ones, I got them on PC. I'd like to get them on PS4. I got a good drop this weekend, but still, I'd like to get some of the curated for those. Those would be grind worthy to me. This one wasn't. I mean, even the Loaded Question, I finally got my Loaded Question right before Iron Banner. And I love that fusion. Yes. I did not realize how good that was. And I kind of annoyed myself for that. I stalled on it because, I was like, then I just focused and did it. And that I just love that weapon in PvE. And even in PvP, it's pretty good. But in PvE, man, love it. So I was happy that I kind of grind that. So for a good weapon, I'll do a grind, as much as I can. But for that, I wasn't going to. So.
Are you working on Thorn right. at all?
I am. I'm not like focused on doing it. What I'm trying to do is as I'm getting my milestones, I'm trying to double up and do the same things that I have to do.
Yeah.
So I think I'm up to the hive killing portions. I haven't gotten to the crucible portions yet.
Which Iron Banner was nice for because they had double percentage for there. So I finally got my Thorn done.
If I had been able to play like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I probably would have gone a little bit more into Iron Banner. But I was away for that weekend. So I was the only thing. I think sometimes it seems like Iron Banner comes on either a holiday or a time where I'm not away or I'm away.
You'll just have to prepare a little bit more in advance this next time. Yeah. So that way you can have, if you're like me and suck at competitive or have no desire to go into competitive, get up to that Iron Banner step for the void kills for Thorn and then just save it for that timing. But yeah, you could certainly double up a lot of your quests. So we talked about that one other time. When I switched to PC, that's exactly what I did. Doubled up on a lot of the quests and pursuits to kind of maximize your time value of what you're getting out of your actual time to play.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even with Loaded Question, anytime I was actually specifically going to go for the completions on those, I always make sure I would have an ARC fusion rifle because, I think it was either main ingredient or another fusion rifle that I had. That just to make sure I'm like, hey, might as well do it. If you're getting these kills, you're going to do both kills. You're going to need arc kills. You're going to need fusion rifle kills. So may as well do them both at the same time, So it doesn't make sense to do a solar fusion rifle if you're going to need arc kills. So that was, anytime you can do that where you can double up, it definitely helps with progression with those things. You're right. And same thing with, as I was doing some of the recent, Invitation of the Nine, sort of quests, it helped me progress some of the Thorn as well, because some of the killing of Hive and other, characters and things like that have helped with that. So I'm all about that. Try and get as efficient as possible. I won't do like the flow charts and stuff where it's like, okay, you got to do this, but at least I'll use some of the common sense, things that make sense to kind of keep things done at the same time. Anytime you can double up, it's great.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. One last question on Destiny, or we can still talk about Destiny. I want to hear some things that Sin's done this week too. But let's talk quickly about how do you feel about the annual pass so far? What do you like or not like about it? And as a separate question, because I have separate answers myself, so maybe you don't, but has it been worth the money?
Yeah, that's when if you asked me that a month ago, I probably would have a slightly more negative and not as good of an answer and reaction of it, right? Because I think my thoughts on Black Armory, I was a little frustrated with the way that they kind of did that. And I think they've learned a lesson. So I'm always good with Destiny. You have to kind of give the feedback. And Bungie will listen and they'll improve, like the bounties, right? I think that's a great example. Offering those 640 bounties as part of the Season of the Drifter, huge. I think that is a very important thing. I think they obviously should have done it during the Black Armor, but actually if they didn't do it, they actually listened and they added that. So I think in that case, that to me is good deal. I think it's been a peculiar thing for me with the annual pass. I think up until last word, you had to have the annual pass, I believe, for Last Word, correct? I think that was probably the first thing that I would have thought is required for, that's the first time I thought that the annual pass probably was worth going to have, because I think until you get to a certain light level, the annual pass is kind of meaningless. Until you get to that higher level, like anything over probably 620, 630, something like that, I think most of the activities, you don't need the annual pass. There's nothing that I can think of until just recently that you needed to do it other than some of those later stages. So Black Armory, you really couldn't do most of those Black Armory things if you were less than, sure you could do them at 610, but like realistically to get through a lot of those 630, 640, right? So I think especially as the forges got longer. So I'm in better state with annual pass because, honestly, as you kind of look at it and you break it down, number of months, number of, you know, seasons and all that kind of stuff, it ultimately isn't that expensive. But I've kind of been disappointed with what the annual pass has been giving you versus what the live team's given us, right? I think I've been more interested in like the lore and other things like mm-hmm. the Invitations of the Nine. I don't think you need the annual pass for that, right? I think I know you need it for the 640, but I wasn't sure if you needed it for the Invitations of the Nine.
No, I don't think so. For you just need it for Reckoning or
For Reckoning. So I think Reckoning, I really enjoy Reckoning. So I think that was probably the first event where it's like, okay, I wasn't really fond of the Forges. I kind of liked some of the quests that they had for the exotics, but I wasn't really necessarily hot to get those right away just because I just wasn't going to go into that sweaty heat for some of the Last Word, as much as I love that gun, and then some of the Thorn stuff initially. But I think the Reckoning was probably the first thing that I would say I felt good about having the annual pass. Up until then, I was like, why did I pay for this? Like, it just, and I paid it for it on both platforms. I paid it on PS4 and on PC.
Oh, yeah.
So I did it double. So I'm like, so when people start talking about next year and what they want to do, I think my request would be, I don't have a problem with an annual pass as long as there's a little bit more in terms of what the focus of it providing to you. I think the Season of the Drifter is a turning point for me. I think I like Season of the Drifter. I think I like what they've seen so far, and I feel like I'm getting a little bit more value from the annual pass. Because there was a couple times in recent times I've been trying to get some friends that haven't played in a while or have kind of gone off even before Forsaken. They got frustrated and they're like, "Well, no, Forsaken was really good," and they're really hard to get them back in. Like, but I'm not doing the annual pass. So like, you don't need to do the annual pass. But then the only thing recently was that 640 bounty. That would have been a really nice enticer. Like, well, I'm so far behind anyway. They were probably like, I don't know what was pre-Forsaken, right? It would have been before 500, I think, maybe 400 was the light level. So, you know, there's no way they're going to be able to play anything recent if they're under 400. So having those like advancements would be nice. But yeah, I've kind of been, I probably would give it a C plus right now. It's like, if you asked me back in the fall, not fall, last season, I would probably would have given it an F. I'm like, I was actively telling people, do not buy that pass if you haven't already gotten it until you get to a certain light level, because it's meaningless, because it really was. There wasn't anything that you needed it for. Now you're starting to see things where it's more enticing. So I think that's part of the model. You need to give something good in order to make you feel good about paying for it, especially if you're paying for it twice, you know, and I wasn't until recently. But Reckoning was a good step. I think Reckoning is a good step. And people who, I feel bad that some people that they're not into Gambit, quote, you know, air quote, I'm like, Season of Drifter is a good portion of that, but I mean, there's so much interesting stuff in it, like, you know, picking your sides and doing the bugging stuff. I mean, I pick Vanguard side for my main. I haven't gone to a second character yet. I was going to do my, you know, because I'm Warlock main, so to me, it made more sense to do, you know, Vanguard for my Warlock, and then I was going to probably use, you know, Drifter for my Titan probably, and then whatever I was going to do for Hunter eventually. But I haven't gotten back to my Titan just yet. But I think that's great content. I think even as it's simple, it's still stuff. It's, you know, you're searching around for the computer screen. You're, you know, putting bugs down, even though it's not too meaningful. I thought it was interesting. I don't know. I thought it was kind of a cool thing. But you didn't need the annual pass for that. So that's why I say that. It's like you really didn't need the annual pass until you get to like 630, I think. So I tell people to hold off on that. But now you got that 640 bounty. But like, you know, remember when you used to pay for that, you know, Spark of Light? It's kind of the same thing. Just do it. You know, that way you'll be back in the game.
Yeah, Sin, what about you? Has the annual pass been, how would you rate it? Or has it been okay? Or do you have any qualms about it?
For me, I'm okay with it. And I brought this up, I think it was last episode, about, you know, the pay-per-month model of like World of Warcraft, WoW. I don't like that because if I don't play, I feel like I missed out. With this, I buy it up front. I'm good for the year. If I play, I play. If I don't, I don't. I don't feel as bad about buying it.
Right.
But there is a lot of great things that they have put out in each of the updates. I agree with Clear Knight. You know, the Forges, the up front, that was probably a little bit of a miss for me because, one, the power level was a higher portion at the cap was 650 at the time. You had to be at least 610 to start the first one, 650 by the time Bergruja came out. Now in Season of the Drifter, where the power level is a little bit higher, I'm actually finding myself go back more and do more
I agree.
More forges. So that's more of a win. You have to pay for it. Then at that point, you get it with the annual pass. So now I'm enjoying both content, both parts of the content there. I was also noticing, I was kind of looking over the next season that's coming out. And I don't know if we really talked about this much or if really there was much news on it. But next is June through August. It's season of the Redacted. They have on the roadmap, there's two Redacted spots on the roadmap. New raids coming out. We got Solstice of Heroes coming back, which is Solstice of Heroes is actually good all the way back to the base Destiny 2 game. And there's also a new 6-player match made activity. Mm-hmm. Was there any information put out on that, or is that just something?
No, not yet. Yep. I'm excited. That mm-hmm. is awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
And by the way, they do have at least a name now, Season of Opulence, I believe. Mm-hmm. They changed it from Redacted to Opulence, but that still doesn't tell us too much more, although there are the rumors of the last raid will be a end cap to the Kalos storyline.
Nice.
We will see. Yeah, we will see. But boy, 6-player matchmate activity. If that could be something pretty cool, and just the fact that you could have 6 people in there,
yeah,
that could hold us through the summer for a bit. And along with Solstice, I forget all the details of last summer. It wasn't horrible. I remember it seemed like a fair amount of grind at times, but it seemed mm-hmm. like
story a lot missions, of grind.
Harder was somewhat fun. I'm trying to remember. Maybe I'm just mixing it up with the
There were some things that if you had just been playing all along, you got them for free. And then there's some things that had to restart to do the grind of the mm-hmm. Age of Triumph stuff. So I think that was, or the Summer of Triumph. So I think
we'll
that
we'll have a new raid and we'll have we'll have lots of stuff together. It sounds like I had always been looking at this season anyways, as when I looked at all three, I'm like, okay, probably the second one will be the lightest one for me. It hasn't been horrible. It hasn't been as light as I expected, which is good news. Cause you know, no raid. I was just looking at it that way, but,
right.
But yeah, it's next season could be a good one. Could be a big one.
Yeah. And that's the one with lots of secrets too. So that'll be interesting to see how they kind of go with that. So, and that'll be, I mean, that's good for streamers too. I know that, I just hope that they make those reachable, you know, cause that was the other thing I loved when the whole Shattered Throne hit. Right. And we go back to Whisper too. And Whisper was cool, but Shattered Throne was another one. Like, I really would have loved to play Shattered Throne, but it took me so long to get to a point where I could play Shattered Throne that it became kind of like, all right, well, it's ready. I think it was a month and a half later. It's like, well, this is kind of passe now, you know, like you kind of miss that. It's the FOMO. You kind of fear missing out. You mm-hmm. kind of not have that. So hopefully they're good
secrets, but not
crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So I definitely think that $30 is well worth it. Mm-hmm. I do feel at times, and I'm not really saying like it's necessarily worse, because there was times in the old format where we could go months without anything, but
yeah,
I still feel like I want more, you know, pretty much everyone feels that way. I wish there was ways we could have more loot, more weapons to pick from, more ways to grind for weapons, where I don't mind grind if it's increasing our weapons, but there's really
right
other than masterwork here and there. There's not much we can really grind for to increase our weapons.
No. I think this is my last thought on it too, is the only thing I really do miss them adding, and I wish they could have done this maybe as part of the annual pass, is new strikes, you know, because the one thing that only thing I'll say is kind of gets annoying to me is everything that we do in every season. We always end up going back to the same strike, which I like, you know, that's cool. Especially when they revise it, like the Thorn one. I've helped actually a few people do the Thorn, and I haven't gotten the Thorn yet, but I've helped people on that quest. So I love the way they did that. It's hard. It's challenging. It's a really cool little thing at the end to make sure you kill all bosses at the end. Don't do too quick, other we get screwed. But I really wish they had more strikes. I think that was the one thing I really missed. Yeah, we didn't know, but when we did get a couple of the Spring of Taken Spring and such, you got at least one or two new strikes. Mm-hmm. So I really kind of wish if they do the same kind of approach next year, where if they don't do a large DLC, which I hope they really do, but we don't know. If they're going to do an annual pass, that would be my one recommendation, is you got to add either some new lost sectors, change the lost sectors around, or add some strikes and some game modes, the Crucible. But like that would be my wish list, because I mm-hmm. love these strikes. They're actually good, and I like the fact that the strikes that were added, the three strikes are at 3, I think, Forsaken, those are great. I love having those. I want more of those strikes, because you end up doing a lot of those during nightfalls and et cetera. So I'd like to see more strikes.
I don't even mind if they like redo strikes or redo mm-hmm. story missions. They shouldn't just do that. New ones are even better, but I don't even mind like, yeah, go through the story mission backwards and add some new mechanics and new enemies. I mean, yeah, better than nothing.
Like the Paradox, right? There was the, I think it was the Paradox one. Yeah. Where you kind of went, had to go back at the end of it and you had to go find the, or the Black Hammer or, mm-hmm. you know, that was,
or redoing strikes, Sepix Prime, with just even changing the music and making it a lot harder, just totally mm-hmm. brought it back to life.
Yep. Yeah, no, definitely. It'd be really great. So,
well, we always have, things we love the game and we always have things we want to make it better too. Sin, anything else interesting you've done in Destiny this week? Before we move on to a couple other topics.
Not really. Just the raid was really the big fun moment of the week. Yeah. Capped off my long work week for sure. Other than that, I focused a little bit today, earlier today on Gambit. Had some crap show of matchmaking in regular Gambit, mind you. It was awful. But I made some progress on my third and final reset that I need for Dredgen. I'm about 10,000 points now. Need 5,000 more for that reset, and I'll have that. I'll have that one in the bag. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to remember if I did anything else earlier in the week. It's been a long week otherwise for work. And I think that was about it, actually. Really, really, the raid was my highlight.
Mm-hmm. The raid was good. One of the few times I stream is when I'm raiding. And I believe a lot of us are streaming that night. Mm-hmm. Yep. And if anyone wants to go back and watch them, I don't know why they would, because I'm sure I'm boring, but there were some funny things. We learned Finn's wife is a ginger, and
son, that happened.
He said, "Does she steal souls?"
Because apparently gingers steal souls, and that's a
yes, because they have freckles. The freckles are each soul that they steal.
Yeah. So no, good times for sure. That's what I like about the raids too, is because when there's more people around, there's like more ways the conversation can go. And I had my son in, so I was just like, I was more focused than I should have been. I actually usually like just going in the random conversations. I was like, oh, it's getting late. He needs to go to bed. But like,
right.
I love the raids normally, 'cause like you can just talk about the most random stuff.
Yes. And they do go there. So it gets a little, especially as it goes into your third or fourth hour, if you're playing. And you start getting a little, not punching in a bad way, but just punch drunk, right?
Yeah.
That's the way I put it. I would call it raid brain after a while. Like even last night where I was trying to do the slams and I wasn't slamming correctly later, I kind of looked back at my video and checked. It was like, yep, okay, this is what I did. I just wasn't staying on it long enough, that kind of deal. It's like, that's where you start doing the little silly mistakes. But, like we said, you got to have fun doing it. If everybody's starting to rage, it's just not a fun time. The whole point is just to have fun. That's what these games are. They're social games. You know what I mean? That's why I like those kind of events itself. So, mm-hmm.
And I had fun in another game this week. I just wanted to talk really quickly about the game Borderlands. Of course, in the news, we've been hearing a lot about Borderlands because Borderlands 3 has been announced. And it's one game that I never got into, even though I had friends that told me, oh, Borderlands is kind of like a lot of people that like Destiny might have liked Borderlands in the past. And so they had kind of what you could almost say a re-release of Borderlands 1 and 2. Borderlands 1 added some extra quality of life things, and then both of them kind of upped the ante a little bit with making graphics a little more up to date. Mm-hmm. So I decided I'd pick up Borderlands 2, the pack. And what's pretty cool too is I play on PC occasionally, and but also with Borderlands, not only can you play on PC proper, but you can also play on Mac. And so I decided to pick it up, and I decided to play a little bit and had a fun time in it.
Yeah, it's definitely a good game, and I haven't played it for a long time, and I started getting the bug when they announced. As everybody saw on Discord, I was probably getting a little overly excited than most others in our clan. But, I had enjoyed one on, I think it was PS3 with some friends at co-op play, because it was couch play back then. And so when I played a lot of it, it was more in real life, and it was before the days of really me getting into clans and things like that. So I have really fond memories of playing that on console, and I remember picking it up on PC and maybe playing it here and there, but some other game was always pulling me away from it, you know, whether it was one game or another, Skyrim probably, or you know, Destiny eventually, or ESO or something, you know. So I definitely think that the upgrade for Borderlands 1 was a lot more significant. I mean, it was a 4.6 gigabyte download to upgrade that one. Yeah. So that was, and that actually added a lot of different graphical fidelity options too, like depth and field and higher resolutions and things like that, and the quality of life things that they had already in Borderlands 2. And I had played some Borderlands 2 on a console as well. And same thing, I didn't get the Handsome Jack collection. I got something right before what was then sold later as Handsome Jack. So I had to actually spend another like $5 or $10 to just upgrade myself to the full Handsome Jack this week, just so I would have all the DLC, because there's just so much DLC for that by this point. And it's a fun game. I've always liked the campy sort of humor to it. I'm even currently wearing a Claptrap t-shirt I got in Loot Crate not long ago. So it's Claptrap says relax. Well done, minion.
Yeah, so I need to say that 10 times really fast.
I don't even think I said it once right. But yeah, so I always like the humor, and you got it. Like it was fun, like listening to things that I heard before and hearing your first reaction to it was fun. It's like, you know,
people say it's like, I just worked for me. I need to hop into it some more. It's kind of like, there's a lot of loot, and it's like, it's not a dungeon crawl by any means, but it's almost like Diablo 3, like making fun of it. They're making fun of itself. It's like, well, here's a billion guns. Ha, ha, ha. Like, we have more guns than anyone. You know, just all these like funny little sayings and things. Mm-hmm. Like when the bosses come out, they're like, I'm the most bestest boss. No, I'm the most bestest boss. And they just kind of make fun of it. It's just hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. The knuckle dragger. This is going to hurt. Yeah. I love the intros of those. That's always a fun time with those. And it's just the fact that they never took themselves seriously, but they were really serious games. Like they're heavy loot. And I always find funny because, you know, the state of the internet times where people just kind of overly get picky about things. Like, well, I don't think there's a billion guns. I'm like, you're missing the point. This is the humor. This is the humor. They're not billion guns. It's if you really probably did the variations of all the possible random drops, maybe, but that's not what they're trying to say. They're trying to be funny. They're trying to say, like, you know, you got tons of loot, you know, like what Kate did.
Well, there is, like, you're going around, and boy, I was like, Claire and I was showing me, like, oh, yeah, there's little chests, there's little things aside. There's like porta potties you have to go in and open toilets.
Yeah.
And there's,
yeah, guns. You missed like 5 toilets. And I was like, yo, we got to get to the toilets.
it's like you got to look everywhere because there's loot everywhere. And that's, you know, yeah, so it's hilarious.
And the loot explosion is my favorite too, is when you kill some big, bigger guys, whether yellow bars or bosses, where you just got that Diablo pop, right? So, and you see like all the little things fall. It just gets addictive when you want to pick it up, all that little like yellow colors and stuff. So I think it's the fun element there. It's like, you know, you feel like invigorated when you play that game. So it's a lot of fun. So
yeah, I wouldn't mind putting more time in it myself for sure. Mm-hmm. It was fun, the little bit of time that I've actually spent on it. But that was, oh shoot, I think that was a year ago when Guardian Con did the whole, they were doing this thing with Borderlands 2. I had picked it up then, so it's literally been about a year since I've played it. I jumped in for a few minutes with you all the other night, but it was getting super late, so I didn't end up staying on for work. But yeah, I wouldn't mind jumping in and trying to play something a little bit different and really enjoy the story.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And you think about it, the first game is like over 10 years old now. And even the second one is probably close to that, getting close to that now, because it's pre-Destiny. So it was right around that similar time frame, but it's right before Destiny where it really came out. And they had DLCs that were kind of coinciding with Destiny, but generally it was out before Destiny. So think about that. It's like, you know, this is a game that had nice seamless co-op. You know, and I always describe it to people like you did right there, Kingsley. It's like, I just say, think about a first-person shooter with the Diablo loot. Double three loot, or even double one or two, but like I always think that's one of those things that where you have these various random adjectives that amplify the weapons, and then you have gun ammo types that also change the dynamic as well. So I think that's just where the fun factor comes in. So
yeah, with lots of humor too, and it's nothing like super racy, but it's racy enough. Like I noticed, like my son was wondering if he could play it. I'm like, I mean, it'd be fine, but like at the same time, there are some kind of like slightly racy jokes and little funny things. I think it is rated M. It's not like super hardcore or anything. Maybe it's more for the blood than the dialogue, but still it's like a perfect element, you know, where you can be like a little edgy, but not like be crass. You know, it's kind of fun. So,
yep. Yeah. And I think they get away with some of that because of the cell shading too, because the graphics still, even before the remastering, they still held up pretty well. But now you get the remastering and they add additional depth and color and other sort of things. So you can have a decently old computer and still play it really well. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah. I was, had like all the settings turned up to max and it wasn't even stuttering. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty good.
Yeah. Good times.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun game. Amazing. Well, we're getting a little bit in here now, so I'm going to probably start wrapping up. But it's, boy, Claire and I, it's been a pleasure having you on. And yeah, we will be having you back for sure.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah.
I actually have a quick question.
I was going to. Yep.
We talked a little bit. Claire Knight mentioned earlier about the whole arc with Loaded Question and doing the arc grind with the with the quest for Loaded Question. Yeah, that. So mm-hmm. It kind of reminded me of this upcoming thing we got coming this next week with Arc Week. Mm-hmm. I remember somebody posted, Dan Finity posted on Twitter, Zalo Supercell. And I said, that is good. I remember mm-hmm. that gun from D1. Mm-hmm. But real quick, what are our thoughts on that as far as Arc Week coming up?
I think it's a neat thing. I think everybody's asking, well, what about Void and Solar Week? I'm like, well, maybe we'll get to that. But I think I like the fact that they revisited some of the older Arc supers for one. I think that was a good thing. And even not just supers, but like the grenades and other sort of elements, and improved most of it. Like there's like a couple things that they reduced a little bit, but in favor of an improvement. Like they added a duration of something, but maybe decrease the strength, or they increase the strength but to decrease the chaining, or increase the chaining or something. So I'm actually kind of excited to play it. You know, I think that's one of those things that, you know, as a warlock, you know, I don't tend to play Arc as much as the other two subclasses, just my preference. But you know, I do enjoy Ticklefingers, but you know, not something I play in PvP, but in PvE it's useful, although I will try other things, like especially now Void Lock is really hard to avoid now with the skull.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much fun repeated novas, but I am actually kind of excited to see what that actually is. I like the perks, I like the benefits, and I'm glad that they aren't temporary. I didn't think they would be, but they did clarify that it was permanent rebalancing of those things. I think that's cool. I think the what's the other arc gun? You mentioned Zalo, but the from D1 that gun is the what's the submachine gun that's
Well, the Risk Runner.
Risk Runner, yeah. I will probably end up using Risk Runner.
Yeah, I have a feeling. Yeah.
I'll probably have to pull that out of collection. Because when that's a funny story, when I start, for short one, by the way, when I start PC, the first exotic I think had drop was probably Risk Runner for me. And that was huge in doing like the public events with Heroic, especially on Tangled Shore. So I was constantly using that gun, which I normally haven't used on PS4 before that and haven't really used it a lot since. But when you do use Arc, and I think to use it, I love using that gun for that because it's just that electrical effect. So
and Sin bringing up Zalo, boy, did you know that was my first exotic that I got on in D1, and it wasn't a drop. My first exotic was actually bought from Xur, and it was a week that it was up for sale, and some friends had told me like, oh, if you're gonna get a gun, this might be a good one to get for your first mm-hmm. exotic, and so I ran that forever. I mean, I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, I think I clutched on it for too long, and you know, like the tryhards would be like, oh, well, it's not that good of a gun. You should be running a hand cannon. And so I finally, you know, moved over to Palindrome and loved that. But boy, Zalo Supercell, I had a lot of good times with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say that was one of my first exotics as well. And I think it was a similar scenario where I got mine from Xur. Again, because we were both late to the D1 party. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be an awesome one for them to bring back, because I do remember some good times and playing with that gun from D1. So I hope they do. Maybe it might be a good gun.
That's first in the queue. We don't have no idea mm-hmm. how that's coming back yet. And it's supposed to be this season because it's on the page.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Will it be a secret quest? Will it be coming out this next week? Will it be part of the springtime event? So it'll be interesting to see.
And do they remaster it a little bit, like, or tweak it? Because, you know, it was a good gun, but it had a little bit of shakiness to it. Do they make it a little more refined, or, you know, as they've done with every other gun, they've kind of touched it. So,
right.
You know, and I'm actually really happy about Thunderlord, too. I got Thunderlord on both platforms when it was out that time, but I know there's some that kind of either migrated to a different platform or they just didn't do it on their original platform. The very fact that they can now do the the Thunderlord. Even though it's a drop, it's hard to get those drops, right? So I like the fact that they brought back the quest. And for those people who could experience the lore of that quest, I think that was a thing that I didn't like that they cut, you know, at time-based that one. I understand it, but that was some really fun lore and some especially retro going back to D1. You know,
I'm
going
excited for my son to see it. So
I'm happy that they did put that back in there too. That was
and I'll yeah, for sure. I was gonna say I need to run it on PC because I missed it.
Mm-hmm. And we need to finish our Rat King on PC.
Yeah, that's true. I think we got to that final step and then stopped. I haven't been back in a while.
There's a lot to work on.
I could probably help you with that one. I think both Dina and I were playing at the time, and all of a sudden we just realized we were advancing Rat King. We're like, oh, well, let's just do a couple more things. And so we ended up doing Rat King on PC together because it was just, we just happened to be doing a lot of, you know, public events.
And the Catalyst is coming out for Rat King also, so that might be coming back in the meta a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I still remember when they did the 5-man or 6-man Leviathan with the Rat King, that opening scene. I thought that was the coolest thing when they showed how that ripped apart, but. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. That'd be a good time.
Yeah. No, that's a good question. Arc Week, definitely forgot to bring that up earlier, but I'm looking forward to it. And there's going to be, I think this week, I was a little bit lighter in Destiny this last week other than some raiding, but this week I'm going to be hitting it hard again, and it will be too much to do, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Might miss out on that Borderlands time if we do that.
Oh, I know, right?
Never enough time.
Borderlands will be around too. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well, excellent. Anything else on your list, Sin, for tonight?
I'm trying covered. To covered it all. Arc Week. I mean, it's. I think they're going with Arc Week. It might give them an opportunity if they're going to be permanent rebalancing these items. To take a week to permanently rebalance maybe the other classes too, but I guess we'll wait and see. But other than that, like I said, covered it.
Yep.
Short and sweet like a Rice Krispie treat.
Excellent. Well, like I mentioned, Claire Knight, it's been an extreme pleasure having you on, and we'll definitely be following up with some conversations in the future. So everyone who is listening to this podcast, if you haven't played with Clear Knight, he's a very cool, chill guy. So
appreciate that.
Thanks. Everyone friend him. speaking of, if you have any contact information, Clear Knight, now's your time to mention that.
Sure. No problem. As you mentioned, I haven't been streaming as much as I have in the past, although I'm kind of planning on trying to do that. Anytime we raid, I do tend to stream, but other times I'll do that as well. So I'm probably going to be streaming more, but I'm on Twitch as Clear Knight. On Twitter, I am clearnet_. Fortunately, couldn't get the full without the underscore. And on Battle.net, I am clearnet1423. And pretty much any other platform, you know, the PSN, Xbox, EA, Steam, Epic, etc., just Clear Knight.
Excellent. Sin, where can people find you?
I heard the TP1 was a popular choice from last week, but you can find... you can find me on Twitter at Sin_media. That's Sin, C-Y-N. And on Twitch.tv/SinMedia.
Excellent. And people can find me on PlayStation Network as Kingsley Mac. And then if you want my Battle.net, because I do play on PC some too, even though I haven't been there for a while, but it's Kingsley Mac #1828. And then on Twitter, my username is MC Kingsley. Kingsley Mac wasn't available, but I will see what I can do to pay that guy. Just kidding. And our show can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, most of the normal places. Search for The Guardian Hub. If you're listening to this, you probably have already found it, but you can tell others, of course. And our website is theguardianhub.com. You can also find us on Twitter as The Guardian Hub. So thanks, everyone, for listening this week. Thanks again to our wonderful guest, Clear Knight. Thanks, Sin, and we will all talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.